It was the last Sunday before Christmas Day. And as a congregation, we faced a dilemma. Should we hold our traditional carol service or not? For that week in our community, a part-time soldier of the Ulster Defence Regiment had been murdered as he was going about his daily work. His funeral had been held on that Sunday. I had taken part in it. And in a small village community, we wondered to ourselves, would it appear insensitive to his family to hold our carol service? Indeed, we wondered, would anybody even want to come back to attend? And as I turned this dilemma over in my mind, there came to it, thought, a line from one of the carols, Christmas carols, which states this: "In thy dark street shineth the everlasting light." As people of the light, we agreed that we could not afford not to meet. We could not let the darkness win. For the light about which Isaiah prophesied, and the true light which John in his gospel acknowledges was coming into the world, was still shining even in the dark streets of our village community. You cannot think of Christmas without thinking of lights, be it the lights that are lit up in the town or the lights on the Christmas tree. We've lit this candle, marking today as the first of the four Sundays in Advent, that time in the Christian calendar when we focus our hearts and minds again on the coming of our Savior into the world and the preparations which the Lord God made for his coming. In his day, Isaiah the prophet could foresee that for his nation there were dark days ahead. But he saw more than the dark days. He spoke of light shining on those living in the dark days. Indeed, although he's looking to the future, he speaks as if it's in the past and that the light has already begun to shine. Centuries after him, an old man called Simeon would be present when Mary and Joseph would bring Jesus at just a week old into the temple. And he would explain to those around him the birth of Jesus through the words of Isaiah of light in the darkness. As you look back over this year, now that we're in its last month, how often have you felt that you have been living in dark days? As you receive breaking news almost on a daily basis on your smartphone, whether it's from across the world or within the nation, has a shadow ever crossed your path? It's easy, like Isaiah's first hearers, to feel that we too walk in dark days, that we live in the land of the shadow. But away from the big stories that grab the headlines, on a personal level, aren't there seasons in life when everything seems to be against you, as if you're walking in your own personal valley of shadows? And so on this first Sunday in Advent, we're not closing our eyes to the darkness. We're not sticking our hands in the heads in the sand to pretend it's not there, but rather with the words of Isaiah, let's follow the direction to which they point us. Let's remind ourselves that we too have seen a great light, that a light has dawned upon our world and upon us. For Isaiah is pointing us to the one who in due course would speak of himself saying, I am the light of the world, promising that those who walk in his light would not walk in darkness. So despite the darkness of Isaiah's day and the darkness of our day, what does it mean to walk in the light of the one who is the light of the world? I think it means that we walk in the light of who he is. We walk in the light of who he is. I suspect that many children at this moment are in the dark about what they're going to receive by way of Christmas presents. They might like to know. They might like to ask. They may badger their parents, but they'll have to wait. They are in the dark until the day comes when they receive the present and they unwrap it and they're no longer in the dark. And in that simple experience, I see an illustration of the birth of the Savior. That the human race has been in darkness, not truly knowing the truth about God until Jesus was born. St. Paul puts it like this. God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Do you remember the Crime Watch TV program? Sometimes they would show us a computer-generated image of some person for whom the police were looking. Apparently there is now an image of St. Nicholas, the saint on whom Santa Claus is based. It's a CGI image. I don't know how accurate it is. But the witness of the Christian scriptures is this, that Jesus is the exact representation of our Father God. He is, if you like, the computerized generated image of God. Before leaving his disciples, when Philip asked of Jesus, "Show us the Father," his reply was, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." So the more I walk in his light, the more I come to see who God is. And Andrew, whose name and birth and experience is marked over this weekend, especially in Scotland and here today, recognized that light and said to his brother, "Could this be the Messiah? Let us come and see." We walk in the light of knowing who he is. We walk also in the light of his presence with us. Our older daughter studied at Newcastle University. That was exciting for her, but for us as her parents, the journey back over the A66 was one of the longest we had to make. Worse still, we weren't expecting it, was the atmosphere on the ferry back across the Irish Sea. For on that Sunday evening, it was filled with parents like ourselves who had just left their student son or daughter off to university. I'd never experienced it before, but there was a somber, depressed atmosphere on the ferry. For while we could take her to university, we could not stay with her or be with her. She was on her own. Do you ever feel on your own? Having to walk as if you're the only person walking there and no one can walk with you? Over the course of my ministry, I've been called to walk with many people in all kinds of life situations, but especially at times of illness, especially in hospital visits, where I would often sit with someone, listen to their story, and pray with them before they would be taken off for surgery. I could go so far, but I couldn't go through the operating theater doors. They were on their own, and yet I sought to leave with them this confidence that they need not be on their own, for the Lord has promised to be with us even to the end of the age. Some things we take in our stride, but others not so when we feel on our own. Like Moses at the burning bush, being asked to go to see Pharaoh, or Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. There are times when you face the unknown. Time when you feel you're walking a dark valley on your own. And yet, it is from Isaiah, repeated by Matthew in his telling of the birth of Jesus, that we hear of this child that would be born. He would be given a special name or a title, Emmanuel. It means God is with us. God with us, the most common promise in the Bible. More often than not, we walk by faith. We're not really aware that he is with us and watching out for us. But sometimes, in the darkest of dark days, you might be aware of his presence with you. Have you ever thought or felt or said to someone, "You know, I think someone was looking over me there"? I'm amazed at the number of times people have said that to me. When I began my ministry, I called to visit Molly. She was a family friend. She and my mother had been best friends when I was a child growing up, but she was ill and she was in a cancer hospital. And I wouldn't have planned it this way, but I arrived to visit her just after the doctor had been with her to say there was nothing more that they could do. I was out of my depth, but I sat there beside her, and I'll never forget what she said, but with her left hand, she motioned in that direction and said, "Don't worry, Rob, the Lord's over there." Now, I didn't see him over there. I wasn't aware of him over there, but she was somehow aware and assured that she was not on her own. The light of which Isaiah speaks, shining in the dark, shines because of we know who he is and because he know he is with us. Andrew had the benefit of 3 years listening to Jesus, absorbing his teaching, watching his example, and taking that with him for the rest of his life. We have not had that benefit. And yet by the gift of his Spirit and walking by faith, we know he is with us. And then this light is to walk in the light of his return. We as parents are looking forward to Christmas this year, as we do every year, for our daughters are coming home. We are already anticipating and talking about what it will mean for them coming home to us. There's food to be got. There are meals to think about. There are sleeping arrangements to make and ideas of what we might do when they're with us. They're not yet with us, but they may as well be, because the future is coming into our lives now. It's the same in every family. Maybe you're already thinking like that yourselves, or maybe you're thinking of going back home. To quote the words of that Christmas song by Slade, "Are you waiting for the family to arrive?" We are. From the moment of his ascension, when Jesus was taken from the disciples, they and all his followers since have been walking in the light of his return. This is the hope which sustains our faith, which gives us strength to keep going, even when the days are dark, as they sometimes are. Paul reasons in one of his letters that the trials of the present don't compare with the glory of the future. John reasons that everyone who has this hope purifies themselves as he is pure. To walk in the light of his return, that he is coming again, is not trying to escape from the darkness or the trials of this life. It is actually the opposite. It means that we are seeking to get ready for that day. Or as we heard in our second Bible reading, to live as children of light, having nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. When is the right time to take your Christmas decorations down? Is there a right time? Do you leave them into January, or do you take them down before that, much sooner? The light which Isaiah saw shining in the dark streets of Bethlehem is not like your Christmas decorations. It's not something that you just take out at this time of the year and then put it away back into the attic or under the stairs or wherever and forget about for the rest of the time. Whether it's the dark streets of Aldershot or wherever you live, we are to walk in his light and let his light reflect on those who are around us. For this is how Jesus himself puts it. Let your light shine before people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I don't know if you can buy those magic candles, which, you know, when you blow them out, they reignite. I don't know if health and safety has banned them completely. But John in his gospel begins not with the events of the Christmas story, but with an explanation. And he says this: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or, like a magic candle, the darkness will not blow it out. Who knows what dark days might be before us, either for our nation, or for the family of nations, or for each of us on a personal and family level. But may the words of Isaiah on this first Sunday in Advent, his words of light shining in darkness, a darkness which the light cannot put out, a light which shines from the manger in Bethlehem, may it shine upon your life and upon mine, and like Andrew, may it shine through your life and through mine.